anticipated. I think I make it to the top. Wait for a bit or more. Seesaw on something that you've never seen before. It came back reversed. I need proof for what it's worth. Be you proof.
So I'm gonna start just by saying that, you know, for anybody who listens regularly, you know, we didn't do the Wire Talk last week. And we won't be doing that for a couple weeks. So, you know, we have something better for you this week. We're going to talk about some football that happened over the weekend and yesterday. So we're going to talk a little bit about Wild Card Weekend and also talk about the national championship. So, you know, once again, we have Jabbar here today who will be co-hosting with me. And I know that he's very near and dear to the Fighting Irish. And, you know, I watched the game, and a couple of podcasts ago, he asked on a this or that what I thought about Notre Dame and Bama. And I'm sorry I had to say this, but I said Bama would beat the skin off of Notre Dame. And pretty much that's what happened last night. So, I mean, I know it's kind of a tough subject to discuss, but I mean, what did you take from the game, from what you saw? Because I know you could have probably turned it off at halftime.
Yeah, those wounds are fresh. Right. Because I am a Notre Dame guy. It's simple, man. We played against a better team. Well coached. They were more physical. They seemed to stick to their game plan a little better than us.
Yep.
And they're more disciplined, and that equals W's. And Nick Saban's one of the best top five coaches in probably all of sports, man.
Yeah.
Because he understands the pulse of his team, and he demands a lot from them, and they give it to him. If you notice, they don't have any Jadeveon Clowney's or any exceptional athletes.
Right.
Or, you know, top 100 guys. They don't have a lot of those guys. They recruit Alabama and the surrounding area, and they just do a good job, man. But we just ran up against a juggernaut, man,
right.
A better team. Man.
And I would say that game was probably won in the trenches. I mean, offensive line, defensive line. Right. I thought that Alabama just pretty much dominated up front. I mean, you can even see the fire and passion in them guys, and they're winning 35-7. And you got McCarron in the center. They get into it, and the center done push McCarron. But I'm like, the game's 35-7, fellas. Like, y'all still going in. It's just the focus that Nick Saban demands of his team. I mean, and, you know, so getting into that, you know, is Alabama a dynasty? I mean, 3 championships in the last 4 years in college football. I mean, that's a tough thing to do. Do you think that they are considered a dynasty, what Nick Saban has built?
I would say that they're on the cusp of becoming a dynasty. Because I would just need to see him do it again. Not because I don't believe,
right?
Or I don't understand how tough it is to do what he's done. But I'm a believer that we throw that word around a little too loosely.
Okay.
But if he's the closest thing we've seen to something like that.
Since like Nebraska or Tom Osborne
but
or something
that. Still, they didn't do that, though.
Right.
That hasn't been done in a long time. And to dominate in the toughest division in football year in, year out is tough, man.
Right.
And they get all the props in the world. I forgot, one of the professional athletes tweeted, he was like, the NFC – he was just joking, but he said, like, the NFC East and the AFC East and the SEC are the top 3 conferences in the world.
right. So,
but they're getting it done. There's nothing you can say.
They are. And I'm looking at who will end the dominance of the SEC, and I'm looking at Ohio State possibly. I think Urban Meyer's a great coach, and I think that he'll get that program back on the right track, but I don't foresee – especially with Johnny Football and all these guys coming up, I don't foresee anybody ending the SEC's throne anytime soon. So, I mean, Urban and Ohio State may have a chance possibly, but, you know, this could go on for a while. I mean, they've won the last 7 BCS championships. So, Producer Tone, did you get to see any of the game, or did you, you know?
I caught a little bit of it. In between the panning over to McCarron's girlfriend.
Right.
But no, I'm not a big college football guy. I caught a little bit of it just to see there was a whooping. You know?
Right.
And that's as far as my interests went.
It, Yeah, my question would be, my next question, you know, and I'm talking just briefly about Notre Dame. You know, a lot of tweets, a lot of things on Facebook said about him being overrated. And I'm just saying, look, you know, he had a bad game. Do you think that, does this mean anything for him hurting his stock as he moves forward or, you know?
I honestly think that he had a bad game, but you can't afford to have bad games when you're playing a game of that magnitude. And I think he lost a lot of money yesterday, to be honest. But for a Vikings guy, that you know, let him drop a little bit we can pick him up.
I love him at middle linebacker.
I think he'll be a good pro. But as a team, as a unit, they didn't play well.
And I mean,
they were overmatched.
They were letting the guards were getting at Tail. So you know, in the past, we've seen those two big defensive tackles be able to keep people off of him, and he can make plays. And that just wasn't the case. So some of it has to lie on them too by letting Alabama just single block them with one man. So you know, I thought that was interesting, and I think it's kind of unfair for Tail. But yeah, let him drop a little bit. I'd love to see him in purple. I think he'll be a good middle linebacker.
Works for me.
Yep. So, wild card weekend. You know, I know we have a lot of interesting topics to talk about there. So, you know, we'll start with the AFC with the Ravens and Colts. And I know that Ray Lewis is also near and dear to your heart. So, watching him play, possibly watching him do that last dance. In
Baltimore, welcome back, Ray Lewis, and then goodbye at the end of the season.
Yeah, I know. So
it was a shock to me to see him announce his retirement, but I understand it, and he's been saying it for a long time.
Right.
It's like when his kids grow older, he's getting out of it. I hate to see it happen, but it's good he's going out playing and not off of an injury. But, you know, they still got a chance to play a couple more weeks, and we'll see what happens.
They play Denver, right? Do they have a chance in Denver?
Yes, they have a chance. It's going to be tough, though, to slow down Peyton Manning. I'm not a big believer in Denver as a unit,
right,
but I'm a believer in Peyton Manning.
Definitely.
And Peyton Manning could make any team a contender.
So, yeah, Ray Lewis, like I said, one of the best leaders all time I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way he can rally the troops, just the way that the people respect him. I mean, he gets the most out of his teammates. I think when you look at leadership and you look at sports and you put those two together, I mean, Ray Lewis is just the ultimate leader. And I think that, you know, I hope that me just loving what he does on the field so much, I am kind of rooting for Ray Lewis and the Ravens to go on and win the Super Bowl. I know that is going to be a hard task, but I kind of want to see them win. I want to see Ray go out the right way. So, you know, as far as the Houston and Cincy game, I mean, kind of I expected that. It was kind of more of the dog games.
But Bengals probably the weakest team that was left in the playoffs here.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know. You could make a case for the Vikings too.
You could at this point.
We'll get into
that
later, especially without your starting quarterback. But does Houston have a chance against New England?
No.
No chance.
I don't know if anyone has a chance against New England in the playoffs in January. These guys are tough.
I'm just not a believer in Houston. They haven't shown me anything. Houston, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but the Atlanta Falcons, I don't believe, because they just don't have a history of getting it done. Just like the Vikes, man.
So
I think that they're gonna have trouble in New England, and psychologically they got whooped a couple weeks ago. So I believe that's still on their minds. But it's gonna be a tough one, and I don't think they'll get it done.
It's gonna be an exciting game, but the Patriots are so hard to stop at this point.
Definitely. You know, that was moving to the NFC. We got, you know, the Redskins and the Seahawks. That made for an interesting game. And I also know that there's a lot of criticism going at Mike Shanahan about the whole RG3. Should he play? I mean, I'm watching him the first couple drives. He throws two touchdown passes, and clearly he doesn't want to step, you know, he doesn't want to step down or put any pressure on his knee. So, you know, I don't know if that was the right move, but I mean, you could look at that as Shanahan almost mortgaging the franchise, so to speak, for this one playoff run. I mean, you got Kirk Cousins, who is, you know, he's been decent, and he's more he's a reliable backup. I mean, I think he could start for almost, you know, 12 to 15 teams in the league possibly. But to put him out there like that, what did you guys make of that?
You know, obviously, when he runs kind of that wildcat offense, they're unstoppable. That's been their team this year.
Right.
It was exciting to see him go up against Wilson, who plays similarly. They're both the running rookie quarterbacks. And it's nice to see one of them advance. I don't know about Shanahan pulling him off. He looked pretty hurt, man, when he pulled him off and put him through that back door.
I don't have a problem with Shanahan playing him. I have more of a problem with how they played him. Mm. The man's hurting. You know, he ran a sprint option to the left, and the dude was dragging his leg. So why are we running those type of plays? So and I think, you know, as a coach, you want to trust your players, and I don't claim to know more about football than Mike Shanahan. So it's just my opinion. But if my franchise quarterback tells me he's good to go, and we're not talking about a concussion or anything else, it sounds like they had a pretty detailed. It was brief, but a pretty detailed conversation about, you know, the state of his knee or the state of his injury. If he says he's good to go, I throw him back out there. I think it's overhyped because of the situation, it's the playoffs, and how it ended. Had it not ended like that, you know, with him just falling over and the knee kind of just giving out,
right.
We're not even talking about
all
this.
It's not a discussion.
And that happens with 10 players a game every week.
Right.
But you know how it happened in the situation. Kind of made it, you know, a topic for discussion. But I personally don't have a problem with Shanahan playing them.
So with the Seahawks moving on, because ultimately they did beat the Redskins, you're saying that the Seahawks have a very good chance of going into Atlanta and putting the pound game on the Dirty Birds?
I think they'll smash the Dirty Birds because they're kind of tailor-made to be beaten. I think that taking, like, you know, coaches always say, and people that I respect that for football and basketball, they say defense travels.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where you're playing, those guys are going to be physical, they're tough, they're hard-nosed, and they're going to run the ball and keep the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands, and they're going to pressure him. And Matt, I'm not a huge fan of Matt Ryan, and I don't think that they'll get it done. I think they'll put pressure on him. He has a history of not showing up in these games.
Yep.
I love Julio. I love Roddy White.
Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez. They don't have much of a run game.
Right.
So I think they're going to force them, you know, to run the ball. And you got them physical corners, man.
They got Michael Turner, who's kind of on the downslope.
Yeah, right. He is.
They got the best secondary and the best and the most physical secondary.
Yeah, Browner, Sherman. I mean, you got Trufant playing the slot. I mean, so, Tom, what do you think? You think Atlanta's just a regular season team?
I don't think
they're built for the playoffs?
People give Matt Ryan a lot of crap for never winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe lost two or three. I don't think they're going to win. I think Russell Wilson and his crew have a lot of momentum coming into this.
Yes, I think.
Did you see him blocking?
Yeah, that was a great play.
How cool is that?
He's a football player.
Quarterback coach is cringing, but come on, that's fun to watch, player. Man.
Man, so now we got to go into our beloved Vikings. I mean, you know, I will say this. I mean, I'm not as a fan of the Vikings. It's the first time they've lost in the playoffs. And honestly, I wasn't even that disappointed. I mean, for you to come in, have a 3-13 season, to Adrian Peterson come 9 yards from breaking the record. We go 4-2 in our division. We make the playoffs as a wild card. We beat the Bears, which I'm so happy about. All those
Texans.
Things, you know, the Texans, the 49ers, the big wins that we had. I mean, my only problem with the Vikings right now is I don't think Rick Spielman, I don't think he ever gave this team a chance to win. And when you have Joe Webb as your second string quarterback, that lets me further know that you really thought this team was rebuilding and had no possible chance of getting into the playoffs.
I sent out a lot of text messages because, you know, Vikings fans are passionate. And what we do is when someone isn't playing well, we say, oh, put Joe Webb in. Well, everybody, we got to see Joe Webb. So can the Joe Webb experiment please be over and we can move on? I'm not a Ponder apologist, and I'm not a huge fan, but he's the best quarterback on this team.
Yes.
I think, you know, he's young. Our defense is getting older, so I don't. And speaking of what you were talking about, Marcus, Rick Spielman, I don't know what he has, what his master plan is.
Right.
But he doesn't have much time to figure it out because AP's getting older. You know how running backs are.
Yep.
But, you know, we have some good pieces. I don't know if they'll be put together in time, but let's end this Joe Webb thing. And
yeah, and you know, like you said about Ponder, I would say this: he gives us the best chance to win. Now, am I saying that if we put Christian Ponder in there, the Vikings beat the Green Bay Packers? I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is he gives us the best chance to win. And when I see, and when you know, I'm watching the game and I'm sitting back with my family, and I'm like, you know, this must just be some type of joke that the Vikings are playing in there. Say he's
inactive. I thought it was a stunt at first.
And I was like, what is going on? But once again, we see on the other side of the coin with the RG3 situation, you got a quarterback that didn't come out and didn't try. And now he may catch some heat from the local media saying that he's not tough. He wimped out. This, that, and the other. So, I mean, for Christian Ponder, my problem with it is, you know, not that he was hurt or injured. I think moving forward, I wanted to see him play in this game to see what he was made of, to see what we have for the future. And now that's really left a mystery. So you really have no choice but to probably go ahead. Leslie's already named him a starter for 2013. So
I think that's a good idea. And just as an aside, people are just not patient anymore.
Right? No.
They watch a guy play four games and get three picks, and they want the third string guy in.
The man doesn't throw the ball enough to hurt his elbow, man. What are we talking about?
I guess some pictures surfaced where he's all bruised up, and I haven't seen him yet. But
hey, no, I guess it was pretty bad.
Check
he hit his helmet, or he hit the his hand on somebody. So I don't know, but I just hope that I'm proud of the Vikings season. And as a fan, I can say that I really wasn't disappointed. I mean, I'm not saying I'm happy about the loss, but I can at least accept the fact that that it happened or that we made it that far. So done with the football talk. I look forward to another great weekend of football, the division playoffs, and maybe we can have some things to talk about next week. Moving on to the NBA, everything NBA, and there's a topic that, we were even about to have a passionate discussion about, the KG and Carmelo Anthony beef. So apparently, for those of you that don't know, the Knicks and the Celtics played last night, and apparently there was a quarrel between Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Garnett. And basically what happened was at the end of the game, I guess Carmelo was not too pleased with some words that were said by Kevin Garnett. So he went and actually followed him to the locker room, waiting for him to come out so he could holler at him. So, I mean, I guess what I want to talk to Jabbar and producer Tone about right now is basically we know KG is a trash talker. We know that KG sometimes he's an habitual line stepper. We know that. He does this. He wants to get under a guy's skin, and
he's been like that since he was here.
And he's right. And he's a loudmouth. Now, on the court, and we're fans of trash talk. I know me and Jabbar are fans of trash talk. I mean, we can play a poker game and talk trash. We can play intramural football, recreational football, and talk trash. But when is the line, when is it being drawn? When is it going too far?
Tone, can you read the quote about his wife? Can you pull that up? Me personally, I believe that the line is crossed when you talk about family and things that don't have to do with basketball. You can say anything you want about a man's ability, or he's not doing this, or he's a bum, or he's trash. But when you talk about a guy's wife or his mom, or allegedly saying something about Charlie Villanueva being a cancer patient, like it does cross the line. And I'm a KG fan. I've been a fan my whole life. He's one of my favorite players. I do think that he says some things that are tasteless, and I think he does cross the line sometimes. And if multiple people are saying this, it must be some truth to it. I'm not saying that he's quoted as saying what he said, or is that egregious or whatever. But he tiptoes the line all the time, and he's very particular in the guys that he chooses, though.
He is very
smart. He's a smart guy.
And I said all that stuff when we were in the playoffs when he was back in Minnesota. When he played against Denver, he messed with the Francisco Elsons and, guys who, it seemed like he messed with a lot of the foreign players, or he would get into it with Pachulia or something like that. But you never seen him step to Kenyon Martin. You never seen him say anything to Reggie Evans. Like, those guys are real
KG's
tough guys.
KG's my guy. But he's been sucker punched before, and he didn't do
Anthony
it.
Anthony Pinter caught him one.
He just backed up.
I understand it was a big moment. And I'm
glad he backed
can't
up.
React,
like, I'm glad
because
he
then it would have messed us up. But I'm saying, like, you could have went after him in the locker room. You could have did something. You didn't do much of anything. So.
And I'm gonna say this again. I'm a KG guy. I guarantee he wasn't in a rush to get out the locker room.
apparently, KG said to Melo, "Your wife smells like Honey Nut Cheerios."
Wow, what does that have to do with basketball?
Nothing, and that's the point of trash talking, right. And that's. That's what these guys do. I think the worst part about this is I don't, you know, who's to say if he pushed the line. He said worse things to people.
Right.
I think it's just bad for the NBA when a guy's waiting outside on the bus for him.
Right.
Right.
That's not good.
That's what you earned, though. KG earned that visit.
And the whole thing about it is me as a father.
We're men first.
Right. I'm a man first. And me as a father and a husband with two kids, like, those are two things that you just don't bring up. Because, like Jabbar says, it has nothing to do with basketball. If you want to talk about Carmelo, talk about him being 6 for 26. Right. Talk about him not having rings. Talk about him not winning in the playoffs. But to bring, you know, Lala into this or to bring his kids into it, I think it's just drawing a line. And I think that KG thinks that you can say whatever you want in between those lines. And what Melo's saying is, no, you can't, because I'm still a person. I'm still a human being. I'm still a man. So... Listen, I think I love KG's passion for the game, but, man, he goes too far. And I hope he learned his lesson, because if he hasn't, I think that somebody's going to really end up getting that KG.
Right. And I think it's, you know, being the person that I am, there's nothing in the world a guy could say to me to make me wait for him outside of the locker room, because words are words, and that's fine. So I do think Carmelo was wrong for his reaction to it. And I think he stated it. You know, he was in the heat of the moment, and he would do some things differently if he could. But I just think it was two parties that handled the situation poorly. And that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, right. Love has to know what he's getting into, and Melo has to mind himself.
So let me ask you this. Who wins?
Melo.
Melo takes him down.
No, I think this is like a UFC fight where it's just dudes are swinging and whoever happens to land one remains victorious.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a street fight. It's,
I don't know. I may put my money
it's
on
a toss-up.
Melo may be a little stronger. I think, you know,
he's younger.
His low center of gravity, you know, right. Handle KG. But anyway, Kevin Love is hurt again.
Shock.
He's out again.
He's on my fantasy team.
He messed his hand up again, so I guess he fractured it. And they're saying he's out for several weeks. What does this mean for the Wolves moving forward? I think they beat Atlanta tonight. When I left, they were up by like 3 points.
Oh, yeah, they beat them.
So they beat Atlanta tonight, which, you know, that really isn't anything. But what's the future of, I mean, can they make the playoffs is basically what I'm asking.
Him being injured means the same thing he did before the season. I don't think we're a playoff team. Well, I just don't.
We did go on a nice run without him.
This is the regular season in the first quarter of the season.
Right.
I'm just not a believer in our lineup. Even at full strength, I don't know if we have one of the top eight teams in the West. Kevin Love hasn't been playing well. And right. I listened to a radio show today where they were speaking to this topic. He hasn't been playing well, and he hasn't shot the ball well, but he's still playing with the same amount of energy. He's still getting 14 rebounds a game.
That's not
still averaging
anywhere.
18, 20 points. So that just speaks to his talent level everyone to unanimously saying you're not playing well, but you still average 20 and 14.
And you're playing hard, right?
Right. So I'm never a believer in the Wolves would be better without their best player.
Right.
He's the best power forward in basketball right now. To me personally, there's not much debate on that with me in my eyes and some of the things I like. I just don't think we're a playoff team. I don't like our mix. I absolutely love our coach. I think we have the perfect coach for this situation. But the team we assembled, even if we did make it, what's the point?
Yeah. Right. And you have to think that the Lakers are going to surge and push up and push somebody out. Because I think currently the Wolves may be sitting at the A spot for the playoff spot. But you have to think that the Lakers, even with their troubles, will make a surge. And, you know, I'm starting to feel bad for Kevin Love. Just with all the stuff he's going through with the organization, the injuries. I know he's a hard worker. But, yeah, I think it's going to be tough for the Wolves to make the playoffs under the circumstance. What you got, Tone?
We got to get through Denver and Portland. Like we talked about last week, the West is exciting. There's a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Clippers are going to make it in. San Antonio, Memphis, Oklahoma City. You got to imagine Lake Show is going to be up there, just like you said, because they're the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, I said at the beginning of the season, we first started the show, that we're not going to make the playoffs. And I kind of changed, and then we kind of stagnated for a little bit. We've kind of just been sitting there where we win one and lose one.
Yeah. And that's how we've been. Lose two. I mean, we lose two, come back, win a couple, lose one, win two. I mean, that's just how we are. And I don't know if 41-41 is going to get you the A spot in the West. You know, I think you're going to have
to be. In the East, maybe.
I think you're going to have to be 10 games over 500. Possibly to get that spot. I don't see that the even 500 record getting in.
And even if we do, like Jabbar said, then what? We're out in four games?
Right. It's going to be extremely tough for us to make it. And like I said, if we do, who are we going to be? We're not going to beat anybody in the seven-game series. Plus, if we get an A seed, we got to play a one seed. So we're playing the Clippers.
We're playing the Clippers, or we're playing the Oklahoma Thunder.
Okay, no part of Chris.
But I'll tell you this much. It would be good to see Minnesota playoff basketball back in Minnesota.
It'd be just exciting for a couple for the
games. Just to come downtown and, for me, I want to see what the K-Love haters have to say. I want to see him play in a playoff game. So, because I've heard, he wouldn't do that in the playoffs. He's a regular season player. He's just a stat guy. Like, I want to see him play in the playoffs and show people what he's really made of. You know, and people think that his stats are inflated. I really want to see Kevin Love in the playoffs. So, win, lose, or draw, I want to see that happen. You know, so I guess that's where I'm at on the Wolves. Another topic I want to discuss today, this is probably my favorite player in the league, and he's been my favorite player in the league for a long time. I want to talk about LeBron James' greatness. I'm watching the guy play, and I thought last year he had an efficient year. You know, I looked at his shot selection. I looked at, there was a point in time where he was shooting 40% from the three-point line. He cut those, his three-point attempts down. I mean, what type of flow is he in right now? And I guess my question is there anybody even remotely close to him in terms of being the best player in the NBA?
I think people would argue from a personal standpoint of players they like better. But in terms of numbers, the man set the bar so high that we don't even get excited about his ridiculous numbers anymore.
Right.
And when he does something amazing, it's just a matter-of-fact thing. The announcers don't even say anything
like
anymore.
The man averages 26.
26.5 right now.
7-7. Like, that's you take a guy on any team, if he has one game like that, we're like, man, he played his butt off today.
That's right.
The man set the bar so high that
8.3 boards right now.
Gosh,
man.
8.3 right. Rebounds.
Playing a ton of minutes.
Playing offense like that too.
Defense. He's just an all around player and an exceptional athlete. And he's just in a zone as a player. He's just in his prime. Kobe had a space like that.
Yeah.
A stint of years where he was on another level. And I think Melo's just on. LeBron is just on another level right now.
Jabbar, who would you put at number two right now in the league if you had to pick someone?
Probably Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I would go with.
I would go with Kevin Durant.
I would go with Durant.
Because it's so funny. Kevin Durant's playing amazing,
right?
And he's not even.
He's overshadowed.
That close to LeBron.
I mean, the thing that surprises me, the stats. He's always had the stats. But, like, the number 23 LeBron, the points would sometimes come hard. You know, when he played against the Celtics or, you know, he played against some of the top teams, you know, it seemed like, you know, he had to shoot a lot to score a lot. Now he's in that zone where he can go 8-for-12, you know, go to the free throw line, He'll have 28 points. He'll have 9 rebounds. He'll have 6 assists. And it is just another day at the office for LeBron. I mean, he's shooting 54%. Am I right, Tom? 54% from the field?
Let's see. 73 at the free throw line. And, yeah, 54%.
54%.
It's crazy because as a young man, he was playing off athleticism and raw talent.
Right.
But it's different, and it's beautiful to see the transformation, like when a guy learns how to play basketball.
Right.
And the man learned, like, he's a great pass. He's a top five defensive player. He's a top five scorer. He's a top five athlete. He's probably a top five passer. We're talking about a one guy who's 6'8". His weight is unknown. He won't really say.
Man,
260,
I think
270.
I think he's 260.
Fluctuates.
Man.
Runs a 4.4, has a 45-inch vertical, and still learning how to play and mastering his craft. And it's great to see, man. And I'm glad. Where are the LeBron haters at now, man?
You know, it's funny that, I'm on sports boards on Facebook.
Man,
you can't find him no more. There's nothing to talk about. Oh, he won, so he's the best now. And now nobody wants to recognize his greatness. I said, and I told people this, I said, look, as much as, and people have called me a Kobe hater, but I will say this. I think Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest scorers I've ever seen, and I think he's the second greatest two guard I've ever seen. And he's top 10 player of all time, possibly. But I said LeBron's ceiling is so much higher than Kobe Bryant. Bryant's just due to the fact of everything else that LeBron can do. And I know Kobe fans may disagree with that, and that's always been like a huge argument. But I just think that in terms of the defense, the rebounding, the passing, how efficient he's become, I think that his ceiling is so much higher. And once you add the championships to it, and once he wins multiple championships, I mean, even if he wins 3, I still say he's better than I would have to put him over Kobe Bryant just because of how great he is and everything else.
And one thing from a coaching perspective and a player perspective, he's a chemistry guy. He's a locker room guy. He's a chemistry guy. All his teammates love him. That stuff's invaluable, and people haven't always felt like that about Kobe. And it's so much easier to be a leader when everybody loves you,
right?
And they can see leadership and hear it.
Right.
That makes it crazy.
Yeah,
I think what he really needs to focus on now is just staying healthy and being cohesive with that team, with that unit, and just getting rings.
That's it.
Right? I mean,
I think that's all he really has to worry about right now.
He can't max out his playing style really any more than he's doing right now.
And the last thing, how many 20-point games in a row they played 32, 34 games? And
right.
So you can't tell me he's not the best. He could be – I mean, if he wanted to, he could lead the league in scoring. And he said, I think he made a statement saying that that's not my job, that's not my motive, to lead the league in scoring. I could do that if I want to. But I think he scored like – every game this year he scored 20-plus. And he's shooting 54% from the field. Not to mention he's probably shooting 40% from the 3-point line. I mean, I don't know what else
41%.
To say. 41%. 41%.
He's
talking about just
efficient.
He's in the zone. So I'm saying this right, and I'm just saying, calling it how it is. I'm stating the obvious. I'm calling balls and strikes here. I don't think that anybody's even close to the dude. So I don't know.
I'm not a huge LeBron fan, just in the sense that he's fun to cheer against and root for the underdogs.
Right.
But I have mad respect for this man.
You have to.
Yeah.
Have to. So, with that, we did our NBA talk. Now we get into one of my favorite segments of the show, and that is This or That. So, producer Tone, surprise us a little bit. Mix it up a little bit. Throw some that you got in there. You don't have to use all of the ones I've created.
Tone, I'm ready.
Let's have fun with this.
All right, Jabbar. This will be an interesting one.
Uh-oh.
Spud Webb or Muggsy Bogues?
Muggsy.
Ooh,
Muggsy's
not
a
thought.
Muggsy's a better player than
he's
Spud
a better
Webb
player.
Was. Spud, the athleticism and
vertical.
The story, yeah, all that's nuts. Muggsy was around for a long time, and he was respected by everyone, and he was a good player.
I'm gonna have to take Muggsy Bogues with that too. From the standpoint, I mean, me being a short guy, I'm always for the short guy. I love Ty Lawson. I love all the little guys. I'm all of about 5'5". But Muggsy Bogues could defend. I mean, that dude could defend. He's 5'3". He's like, he's getting after people. So I got to go with Muggsy Bogues.
1.5 steals per game.
Nice.
career average. I got to go with Muggsy too. You know, dunk contest aside and Spud Webb's vertical aside, just the excitement there. But right. I like that Hornet team.
Yeah,
I really was a good fan.
I got to take substance over style on that one.
Oh so. Yeah,
absolutely. So all right, next one here, coming off the short guys. Let's go, Zach, Ty Lawson or Steph Curry.
Whoa.
You know what? And I thought of this question and forgot all about it. And I don't, man, Steph Curry been playing some good ball.
He's coming in.
And I mean, he's a great scorer. I don't know. I just like Ty Lawson's toughness though. And I like the way he gets at after it. I think he's one of the fastest guys with the ball in the league. And I think that Lawson is a little more durable. So, you know, that I'm going to take Lawson on that one. Although I think if Steph Curry could stay healthy, I would take Curry, but I'd have to see it to believe it. So I got to go with Ty Lawson.
My initial thought was it would depend on my team. I think Stephen Curry's a better talent in terms of his ability to shoot and pass. And get buckets, but I would go with Lawson because I think he's durability's big. I think he's a better leader there's a premium on natural point guards.
Yep.
He's a natural point, and there are many natural points left. So with the leadership, the toughness, the speed, and that sneaky athleticism,
definitely,
I would go with Ty Lawson over
he's
Steph
tough,
Curry.
He's tough, man. He's tough.
I'm gonna turn around and go Steph Curry.
Okay.
This right now, Golden State's 22-11. Right. He's leading them right now. He's got 20 points a game, 6.5 assists per game. He's playing well.
He's playing well.
Just because he's exciting right now, I got to go with Steph Curry.
Probably the toughest question since I've been on
that's
on,
a, that's
on
a
set.
Tough one. That's a
probably
tough
the best one.
One
so far.
That's a good one, Zach. All right, Jabbar, back to you here. Blake Griffin or Sean Kemp?
As a dunker.
We're going to qualify it as a better dunker.
As a dunker?
As a better dunker.
Almost cursed. This is the best question so far. So this supersedes our previous question.
I like the qualification, too.
Man. Yeah, I had to.
So I'd be like, man, I don't like that redhead dude.
Right.
That's tough. I've had this argument with...
Oh, really?
Oh, man. I've had this argument with... multiple of guys that I respect. I'm a quantify my answer by saying this. Blake Griffin jumps higher. Sean Kemp is a better dunker.
Does Griffin jump higher?
Ooh.
That's tough. It's
well, you just said he does.
I'm saying, but you're splitting hairs. It ain't, you know, okay. We're not talking about by much.
I just remember growing up and Sean Kemp putting like silver dollars on the top of the backboard.
But
you remember
Blake
that?
Griffin, every time he takes off, it looks like he's on a trampoline.
Yes, it does. The one dunk that, and I mean the Mozgov dunk was good. What he did to Gasol was good. But the one dunk from Sean
Kenny Gatlin
is when he dunked on Gatlin, and then he starts pointing at him. And I said, man, you shouldn't do anybody like that. I mean, it was just
We're talking about two freak athletes. But in terms of athleticism, and I mean, we're splitting hairs again. But what I've seen with my eyes – Blake will dunk over you. Sean Kemp will dunk over you. He'll go around you. He'll windmill on you. He's dunked on guys backwards.
He dunked on Dennis Rodman backwards in the finals. I remember that. It was atrocious. I mean, I'm saying this. I'm going with Sean Kemp because I think his posters are a little better. I'm not taking anything away from Blake Griffin, though. What you got, Tone?
Tone, let me ask you this. Is there something to the nickname thing? Blake doesn't have a nickname. And we all know who the Rain Man is.
We know who
that's
the Rain
right,
Man is.
Does that mean anything? It does to me, but I might be on that island alone.
Not in this instance. I'm a nickname guy, but not in this instance. Blake Griffin's the ultimate just freight train right through you to get that get that ball in the ring.
Right.
But I got to go Sean Kemp.
Really?
He's exciting, man.
I thought from a young fella. I like that.
I'm thinking you taking Blake Griffin. On
my birth, this is a quick story. My birthday in sixth grade, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton versus the Wolves. I sat under the hoop. My mom got like floor seats. It was like eight of my friends. It was awesome. Wally Zerbiak versus Sean Kemp and Garnett. Hey, Garnett versus Payton. Talk about some talkers.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's weird because I, you know, when I heard this question, I try not to be a prisoner in the moment all the time. And, you know, I just ran through my catalog of dunks, and it's just more from Sean Kemp, man.
Your Rolodex of dunks in your mind.
We're talking about spectacular. We're talking about, let's say, the 20 best dunks of all time. Sean Kemp has more than Blake Griffin.
The one against Denver, but he had a longer career thus far, too. And he jumped to the shot clock and dunked it.
And I will say this, Sean Kemp's a better player than Blake Griffin.
More versatile, better player, more of an asset.
Okay.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
What we got, Tom? What we see? That's another show.
I like that. All right, Zach. This one's for me. Midnight Marauders or Low End Theory?
Oh my goodness gracious!
I came with some good ones today, didn't I?
I gotta go Midnight Marauders.
Hold on. You came up with this question?
He came up with it.
Yes, I did.
Man, you tugging at my heartstrings on this question.
Oh, you missed out. You missed our big episode.
Hold on, Notre Dame, the Vikings, Ray Lewis. Those are all of my favorites.
Sean Kemp, it's coming out. You're a little amorous towards him at the end.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get you more acclimated to the show.
Hey, I appreciate the love. Am I supposed to answer that right now? I'm gonna let you go.
I gotta go Midnight Marauders.
I'm going last.
I know you brought that up because I brought up both these records a couple weeks ago.
Yes, you did. And Tone knows both the records, and he's a fan of the Tribe. You know what? I was going to say Midnight Marauders, but I'm going to say the Low End Theory. The Scenario video was off the hook. I think that album changed the way I thought and felt about hip-hop. And I remember being at Franklin at my middle school, and I remember rapping the whole CD in class. Like I remember every song.
You had your Walkman?
I had a Discman, Tone. I ain't that old.
Sorry, man.
And then I had and I remember the Scenario and We Got the Jazz and just all those great songs. And I had to go with the low end theory.
Tone, people are gonna hate me. I just got here and all that. This is the best question thus far.
This is the Jabbar show tonight.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what's weird about that. Zach's known me for a long time.
Yes.
I'm not like this kind of guy. Like, really, these are some great questions, and they continue to get better. But my answer, I'm going to say Low End Theory. I'm going to give you guys a little nugget. The Low End Theory and the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers came out on the same day.
Wow.
I think that is the best single day in hip-hop history, and I'm going with the Low End.
I tend to agree. That's amazing. They came out the same day.
Best day in hip hop history.
I agree.
Maybe the best year in hip hop history.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just those guys. The product that they made, Tribe Called Quest. I mean, it was unbelievable. So,
and people that don't know me, that is my favorite group.
Yes, it is.
Hands down, no question.
And your favorite record of that group.
Yep.
What we got next?
What we got? We got one more.
We got one more here.
We got one more.
Let's go back to Zach here. Kevin Hart or Mike Epps?
I think Kevin Hart's a better stand-up comedian, but the movies that I've seen from Kevin Hart have not been that good, for the exception of the Steve Harvey one.
But if we started throwing Chris Rock's movies in there,
Chris Rock,
we would quickly throw him out the window.
Chris Rock.
That's right, except for Dogma. It's awesome.
I'm gonna go with I like Mike Epps on this one. I think that for him to come in and Chris Tucker, the way he smashed Friday, you know, I didn't think anybody could ever replace him. I think Mike Epps did a comparable job in that. I've seen his stand up. I seen his last stand-up he did in Detroit, and I thought it was excellent. I think Kevin Hart's on fire right now, but for the total package, I'd have to go with Mike Epps. I got to go with – he don't like being called Day-Day. I found that out at his show, so I'm not going to call him that.
Tone, this question is not as good as the last question.
Thank you.
I'm glad it is.
Right. Nah, right.
Can't just get better forever.
I'm going Kevin Hart. And I'm going Kevin Hart because in my estimation, he's a more natural comedian. I think Mike Epps is funny. His content is hilarious, and he's a hilarious guy. But it's more of how he says things than what he's saying.
Right, right.
So he's kind of like the goofy comic guy.
Right.
The cousin that's always being a funny and have you laughing. But Kevin Hart is more of a comedian.
I know.
He has better jokes.
Right.
And he's more, I would say, entertaining. Because if I would have a better chance if I started talking about Mike Epps than Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart would just dig into me more than
right.
Mike. I'm going to lose both.
Right.
But Kevin Hart is more of a comedian, a natural comedian than Mike Epps.
Where does Omar Epps fit into this whole thing?
Omar.
He doesn't.
Omar.
Man,
where does Omar Epps? I don't know.
I had to search his Wikipedia to make sure he wasn't his brother.
Nah.
So I'm Kevin Hart. I like Kevin Hart a lot. I'm not familiar with Mike Epps' work at all.
Really, none of the Fridays.
No, I've seen the Fridays and stuff.
His stand-up's pretty.
His stand-up is pretty funny.
But I'm going straight up on stand-up. You know, I'm not huge on comedians making movies. I like stand-up and it's raw form.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
So, well, look, you know what? I think we did a great job on the show again. Got some football in this time. KT, man, we still miss you, man. Hope you're having a great time wherever you at, man. You know, so we still holding it down for you. And this is KT Got Game. We're signing off. Peace. Request the flow. I might be busy, a sound boy, baby, yo. Some things you just can't cancel, you know. Because I never phone need.